No audio, apparently. No audio. Can you guys hear me? No audio, apparently. All right. Okay, apparently there is audio now. There just wasn't any audio for the intro. That was kind of weird. So
go figure.
Really weird. But we can proceed. So, all right, guys, just make sure you can hear me. And of course, Hargeet. Hargeet, what's up?
Hey, what's going on? been okay. I've been dealing with this nice thumb unhappiness that's prevented me from playing any games. But outside of that, it's been an interesting week. And it's been an interesting month. And it's been an interesting year so far.
Yeah, we've definitely had a lot of just a crazy like year for gaming. Although some of the games have been really good, there has been some really abysmal games out there, especially in the AAA space. And also, just the news surrounding the video game industry has been really, really interesting. So,
and community unhappiness.
Of course, there's going to be some of that. And you know what? There's a little bit of like something I stirred up on Twitter today. But I don't know. And then, you know, I guess I could talk a little bit about that right now, because basically this is before we get into the topics anyway. So I keep hearing about these from, of course, from mostly from PlayStation guys. People have been coming up to me, whether it's in my comments or chat here or on Twitter. And I see them talking to each other, and they're always constantly saying that GTA 6 will be 60 frames on the PS5 Pro, as if this has already been set in stone. Or at least these people really are grandizing this whole pro model and feeling like, hey, it's going to hit that 60 frame target with these games because, well, it's a pro model. And one thing I asked on Twitter was basically to these people, I said, ask yourself this important question. Did the PS4 Pro make Red Dead Redemption 2 60 frames, or Grand Theft Auto 5 for that matter 60 frames? And more importantly, has Rockstar ever put out a 60 frames games on console? No. Traditionally they don't do that. And that's the thing. They usually push for fidelity, and of course they're big open worlds, that detail and everything. It's going to be both, not only GPU but also CPU intensive. And everything that I've heard, seen rumors on about this PS5 Pro, if it does come to fruition, the CPU has a very marginal upgrade. Very marginal. And I've talked with people that know tech, and they tell me that's not going to push an open world game like Grand Theft Auto 6 to 60 frames. So I'm just like, be real, people. Let's not try to sugarcoat it before it comes out, like, or try to make something like speak it into existence here, because I doubt that's going to happen. I really do. I don't know. Yeah, what do you think about that?
I'm not going to pick a side on this. I agree with you that generally the trend has not been that, so yeah. I wouldn't expect it. But hey, if they pull it off, they pull it off. Like, whatever.
Oh, that would be great. But
yeah. You know, like, look, it's going to be a better performer when it comes to PC, and unfortunately they don't launch, and I don't know why they don't launch on PC.
I know.
Date, but they don't, and that's their stupidity, and they just choose to do that. Like, they came up with an absolutely bogus statement saying, oh, it would take too much. Give me a break. Come on. Like, freaking indie developer, like Pocket Pair, put it on PC and console at the same time, and you're telling me you freaking Take Two, who's going to make like umpteen billions of dollars in profits off this game, can't figure out how to make a PC.
Come on. Yeah.
Don't insult my intelligence with dumb statements like that. You just don't want to do it. Fine. Whatever.
Yeah. I don't know. I think maybe it's that whole double dipping thing. I don't know,
whatever,
but,
right?
But it's dumb at this point in time. Like, you're, whoever wants to play, it's going to play it, or just wait for the PC version. I myself, exactly, suffer from that FOMO, and I and I love Rockstar. They're my favorite developer. So I'm going to play this day one, probably on the Series X, because, well, that's what I'm going to play it on. Because they won't put it on PC. If it was on PC, that'd be a no-brainer. It'd be on PC. Yeah. But, hello, ranting Greek gamer. I see you out there. He hit me up today, and he's like, hey, I'll be there. I'm going to check out the show live. And I'm like, cool. Thank you. Yeah. Who knows? We might be seeing him on another podcast that we know of in this community soon. That's for sure. I want to shout out everybody in the chat today. Of course, I see good people out there like It's Timmy, Version 2, Boba Fett Gaming, Brigadier's Blue coming in hot with that $5 super chat. He says, dropping by to show the show support. I'll have to catch the show on Rewind after. Can't wait to hear what Fonz and Hargeet have cooking for GTL this week. Thank you very much. I can't either, because I don't know what we're going to... No, I do know what we're going to talk about. We got a lot of great topics for you guys, for sure. And it's not all third-party talk. Don't worry. We got a lot of good stuff coming. RDX Son of Fed, I see you. Thank you for the 279. He says new Xbox Gen in 2026. That's the rumor. And here's what's funny about that whole PS5 Pro thing, right? If that does come out, say, next year, what would be the point if a new gen starts in 2026 for Microsoft?
Well, they're supposedly releasing this year, right? PS5 Pro supposedly is this year.
You'd think that they would have some marketing on it already or something.
Yeah, I mean, it's viable that they're going to market it in the summertime and release it in fall. That does happen. That is a possibility.
Yeah, could.
We supposedly have some new hardware coming for Xbox as well, and that's probably going to get marketed in summer. And
I thought they... okay, so that rumor about a mid-gen refresh I heard was squashed. However... this handheld thing could be a real thing coming sooner. So I don't know. That could be the hardware they're talking about that they could talk about this holiday. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think they might even release some stuff this holiday, right? And we also just heard of a rumor of a discless Xbox Series X coming out in the summer. So who knows what. Rumors, all sorts of rumors.
Oh God. I don't know if we speculate, they might call us shills and all this stuff and come after us with pitchforks, Hargeet. Right? You know how the community can be. They can get so mad because we speculate on a podcast, which is what you're supposed to do.
That's the whole point, right?
How boring would it be if we're on a podcast just going, oh, great. So they said this. It's only four games. It's only four games, guys. Yeah. That's it. End of story. Now what? And by the way, we got some interesting news on that because we found out what the four games were, and we already knew what they were. Danny Passion Official with a $2 super chat. Thank you very much. He says, dropping some love. Thank you, Danny. I appreciate it. Love right back to you, man. It's a good guy. And I see Boss Mod Lethal Papa in the chat saying, what's up, Fonz? Hargeet. It's good to see you, bro. Hey. Good to see you. Papa. and no, I haven't heard from Dealer in a while, guys. Just so you know, it's been a couple of weeks now. I did hear from him two and a half weeks ago, and he was doing okay. He's doing good. He says the show won't be back for a while. So, I don't know when. He just said it won't be for a while, but it will be back. That's all he said. RDX Senefet with the 279 says, I think new hardware is the new controller. Yeah, that could be, especially with... the new features that they were touting as, you know, possibly making like the DualSense type features or something in an Xbox controller, which I don't care nothing about. So for me, I don't care about this stuff. But for you guys, if you care about those features, Rumble and all that, thumbs up. You guys have a new controller coming with some great new features, apparently. Let's get into our first topic today. This is coming by way of Phil Spencer, the CEO of Xbox. He says, continuing to raise prices on games can lead to being manipulative. So, as you guys know, video games have been, you know, they're at that $70 price point now. They changed at the beginning of this generation, pretty much, with 2K deciding to raise the price and then Sony following suit, which I feel like Sony really set the whole tone because... they're the market leader, right? So once they went to $70, everybody else, it opened the floodgates for everyone else. And now we got AAA gaming at $70. So, and I know some of you feel it's justified and everything. I myself personally don't still feel that $70 is justified, but Phil's kind of warning that these prices, if they keep increasing, that, you know, it's kind of a manipulative tactic here. And he says, basically, I was reading this from Business Insider. It was an article from Business Insider. And he says this. He says, we've raised the price of games. We went through COVID. We found ways of getting more money per player. He says, I think at some point you reach a peak on that. And frankly, it can go to some places that are manipulative that I'm not a big fan of, he says. This is one of those occasions where I agree with Phil, Hargeet. And I'm sure you do too, right?
Yeah, I mean, so it's, look, the industry kind of had a little bit of a bump during COVID. And so there was massive growth, and the growth has slowed down, if not shrunk. But that's kind of to be expected because people aren't sitting at home anymore. They're able to do other things. And well, the industry is going to slow down because people will choose to spend their money elsewhere. On top of that, we have massive inflation, right? And that is worldwide.
Yeah.
And that is making things more expensive. So people just can't keep spending money on entertainment. And ultimately, gaming is just entertainment. And if you had to forego something versus, you know, food versus entertainment, guess what goes? It's entertainment. You're going to eat. That's just the way it is, right? So unfortunately, this is the world they're in. There are headwinds. That's why console prices are increasing. It's because component prices are
increasing.
Which
is insane.
Energy prices are increasing, right? And that's not to get too political, but that's because of a certain administration that is currently running the country. That's just the way it is. They have agendas they want to go through, and that's their agenda. They want energy to be expensive. Okay, fair. But man, that has consequences worldwide. Everybody has to deal with these consequences. And why does it matter if we do it? Because unfortunately, the entire planet runs off of the US dollar, and the entire energy world runs off of the US dollar. And when we decide to do these kind of things, it affects everybody on the planet. All 8 billion, 7.5 billion, whatever people that live on the planet, we screw them over. That's what happens. So our decisions matter, right? And, you know, I went around the world, and it was very interesting to see that their newspapers, their first page was about us. It wasn't about them. It was about us because we impact them so much everywhere around the world. It was about what New York is doing, what Washington's doing, because it impacts them, their citizens. It's big when we make changes, when we do things, right? And that's why this is happening. And components are being, you know, coming out of like China or South America. It still doesn't matter. All of it still costs more because of us. That's just the way it is, right? These things matter. And that's why your console prices are increasing. That's why everything is getting more expensive. It's life. Like, you choose what you choose. So if you, you know, it doesn't surprise me that this is happening, but it's a hit, and therefore consoles are stagnating, and you know you're getting software sales kind of stagnating, and the increase was not what was expected from 22 to 23, and you know this is just the way it is. If you have to look for increase, which every business does, they're looking for ways to make more money so they can hire more people, so they can give more bonuses, so they can give you more stuff. That's just the way it is. Right. If they're looking for that, you're seeing Sony come out and say, we have a problem. You're seeing Microsoft come out and say, we have a problem. Right. And other companies are kind of doing the same thing. Right. So outside of Nintendo, it's kind of an industry pervasive headache. So he's saying, well, how do I make this work? Right. I could say, well, like you said, he can monetize us more and say, hey, let's put in more microtransactions here and there. Let's hide things behind paywalls. Or we could expand and say, let's take some games and put them over there and see if that brings in more revenue.
Well, do you think, Phil, that's with this quote here, talking about, you know, this could be manipulative, you know, raising prices to a certain extent. Do you think this is something that he foresees happening pretty soon? I mean, because if we see these rumored leaks and stuff about what Sony wants to possibly do with their increase in price by what, 2027, they're saying? 2K is out there stating, hey, we want to raise the price of GTA 6 possibly to $100. And at that point, like, Phil's going, come on, like, enough's enough. Or do you think it is that Phil's kind of setting up the alley oop for, hey, Game Pass is over here, guys, lots of games over here.
Yeah.
17 a month.
There is something to be said about just having Xbox be a platform that's sustainable and moves forward and people can maybe afford it more. That's not healthy for the industry, though. And I think Phil has been clear that he wants the industry to be healthy. And that's a good thing. You don't want to become the only company because then the entire world will come after you as far as the regulatory agencies, right? So it is good to have a healthy industry. Plus, it's just more innovation, right? There's more stuff going on then. People are more excited about it. So it has to work for everyone. The idea of increasing game cost at some point is going to become a negative thing, right? So
I think we're already there, Hargeet. To a certain extent, we're there.
Yeah. Well, so we got this, I want to say it was from Sony, that they found that revenues have increased when they went to $70. Revenue has increased, but volume sales have decreased, right? And there is an inflection point at which the revenue will also decrease. Yeah. Right. And what that is, I don't know. Right. But at some point, people will say, yeah, that's just too much, man. I can't spend that. Right. So where that cut point is, I don't know. They're trying to work that out themselves. But if you charge, say, $180 for a game, are people going to be able to afford that? Probably not.
Well, right? That's why I think that to just
figure out where that line is.
Yeah. I think that's why some of these AAA developers right now have to start rethinking their whole strategy on these games, because it's getting to the point where, yeah, we see these big, really inflated production costs and everything, but what are they getting out of some of these games? Look at Suicide Squad Kills the Justice League. That game flopped hard. I mean, you've got Rocksteady even coming out and saying, hey, our game flopped. And it's like, it's not a shocker. We saw this coming long before you even put it out there. Yet they piled all this money into this game, and it's just not panning out for them. Then you've got Ubisoft. You've got the quadruple A, the first quadruple A game ever. And it doesn't even have 1 million people attached to this game. Not even 1 million. And we're talking about, that includes the people that were sent codes. They don't even have 1 million people, 1 million players on that game. Skull and Bones. Gosh. Yeah. Failed.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunate, but this is kind of, it was also expected, right? Like, well, you're going to take this one part of a game and make it into this game, and maybe it'll be something. And it just was like, I don't know, but whatever. Some people seem to like it, though. But that's the problem with these, like, gambles when you go that big. There's a trend and tendency to understand that, like, taking these large AAA budgets and making a gamble is almost untenable. You have to have returns. And so then you're going to guarantee that those games are always going to be formulaic, so that they guarantee that they'll be sold. But that makes it kind of boring, right? You look at the games behind me here. These are all kind of, not formulaic. Who would have expected Rare to make Sea of Thieves?
Yeah.
Kind of out of nowhere, right? But it became a hit. And to me, that's a hit because it was put into Game Pass day and date. Otherwise, that game would have failed. It just, nobody would have bought it, but it was in Game Pass. People tried it and they're like, hey, this is kind of fun, cool. And it kind of just grew from there. And 35 million players later, it's now coming to other platforms. Pentiment, you can't get any more weird. Grounded, same thing. Passion Project, small team, but that's what you need. 20 million players later, right? It's, you need to have quirky games. You need to have smaller games and not.
It's not even about needing to have
$1 million budgets.
It's not even about needing to have smaller games. It's about making games that are just fun. You don't need the extraordinary amount of money to put into, say, pay a legit actor, celebrity out there, a bulk of your production costs because they're expensive. It's like, you can use, some other actors out there who might not be known or whatever, pay a lot less and get these games out there. But the number one factor is you don't even need dialogue in some of these games to have fun. I mean, look at Pal World. I don't think there's any dialogue in there at all. There's nothing. It's just you read it and you go on about your day. But it's just, there's these smaller games. I even put out a tweet, by the way. The other day, I put out a tweet about how AA games was better, have been better lately than the AAA games. never mentioned a console, but people just like turned it into this whole console war thing. And I'm like, what are you guys doing? Like, no, I'm just basically tweeting that lately these AA games have been better. Helldivers 2, for instance, I consider that AA. And so do many other people. I think it's a AA game, but it's doing really well. It's doing big numbers, not a large production cost, but they're taking in a lot of revenue for it. Great for them. And this is the type of thing. It's like, put out a game that's fun and people will come. That's what you need.
Yeah.
First and foremost, games have always been about that first and foremost, fun. And it seems fun, like lately it's about, oh, how much can we monetize this game first? And then we can bring the fun. Like I swear some of these developers probably think that in the boardroom, like, hey, we can make a game and we can put microtransactions in it. How can we make it fun though? You know, I think that's the afterthought with some of these people. Might not even be the developers themselves, or it could be, you know, the people that the publishers, the people funding the games. But at the end of the day, it just seems that we're getting some AAAs that just aren't cutting it, and it's sad. I mean, speaking of AA gaming too, Pal World from Pocket Pair, right? They basically came out and they said this here. Let me pull it up and read the quote. It says, total number of players exceeds 25 million. And they say, it's been a month since Pal World has released. Thank you. Steam, 15 million players. Xbox, 10 million players. We will continue to prioritize fixing bugs and preventing further cheating. Thank you for your continued support.
I think this makes it bigger than any PlayStation game. I'm just saying, like, just how ridiculous. Just to put it, and it's not to disparage.
No, it's not. It's not to bash you.
It's just to say how ridiculous the sales are for this game, right? For this game. Oh my goodness, that's crazy. 25 million, right? And okay. Some people will say it's engagements instead of sales. Like, but 15 million is definitely sales, right? And then some portion of that 10 million is going to be sales as well, but. That's pretty crazy for a small studio, right? And now to the point of really why you're getting attacked is, look, there is, and I've said this many times, Sony had a model that they created in the, like, sort of the PS3 era where they create these cinematic games that are very expensive to make. And there might be some emotional attachment that if you attack that model, you're attacking PlayStation. And it's like, look, PlayStation is attacking that model themselves because they're the ones figuring out it can't sustain. And they're trying to shift over to something else. So it's not just us. We're just pointing out the obvious, right? That you can't just keep making massive games. You become very monolithic in what you're putting out. And then, you know, you never try anything that could become a Pal World, right? You have to give chances to things, right? You don't get a Grounded that has 20 million players if you don't ever try. You have to try, right? And if you make that a AAA budget, you don't know if it's going to work. And you're like, I don't know if I should green light this for $120 million. Like, it may not do anything, but for like five, you're like, okay, I can sustain that hit. Cost 5 million. It fails. Fine. Right. But it worked. It worked fine. Right. And that's kind of the thing. So if you do Pal World, I think it was $7 million to make. They've obviously made their money.
Yeah.
And then some, right. But it could have failed like the previous.
Yeah, no, it's true. And what you were saying earlier about the, you know, developers for, you know, let's say Ubisoft, Skull and Bones. You know, you never know how your game will hit until you try. Right. Yeah. So yeah. I get that. And as gamers, sometimes we take that for granted. We sit here and we try to be talking heads about the industry and stuff. But at the end of the day, we're not game developers. We really don't know what's going to really stick with these people. All we could tell you is that yes, we like fun, right? But what's gonna, you know, what are people gonna think is fun out there? Especially when you look at a game like Skull and Bones, I don't particularly think that, you know, it looks fun to me, but I don't like games that are based on the water. I don't like ship battles. I don't like any of that. Like, I love the Assassin's Creed series, but Black Flag was not one of my favorites because basically you were on the ship a lot. And I don't care for that.
my favorite one.
Yeah, I know. I know a lot of people love it. I don't hate people for it. It's just, it's my bias. It's against being on the water like that. I prefer being on land.
I like the ship stuff in Black Flag.
I don't care.
So. A couple of other ones. It was okay. But like just having that piece would just not be enough. Like I need the rest of it. Right. So, but yeah.
By the way, Spartan 661, thank you for the $1.99. He says Xbox is the way. And it's the gateway to PC. Let's go. Yep. Wow. It's like that gateway drug, right? Going to PC. Danny Passion Official, thank you for the $5. He says, I had an amazing time with the new Princes of Persia and Liza P. Much, much more fun than with those two small games than 20 plus hours with Starfield. Wow.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. I liked Starfield a lot. I did. But then again, I'm kind of a Bethesda stan, and I admit that. But at the end of the day, I do see problems with it. I do see things that they could have done better with the game that they didn't. But that's neither here nor there. I mean, I can talk crap about it, you know, in certain ways and stuff. But at the end of the day, I did like the game a lot, so I had fun with it. But it's more of the, just lately seeing these AA games really shine. And speaking to people in ways that it blows me away, Hargy. It really does, especially like with Helldivers. So I had some time with Helldivers this weekend. So my older brother and my younger brother hit me up. We have this group chat together, and we all play games. My younger brother is a PlayStation guy. My older brother is a PC guy. I'm now on PC. So they're like, hey, let's try to find a game we can play together. And then my older brother was like, hey, you know, one of my nephews, who's an adult, he says he's been playing this game on his PlayStation 5, something about Helldivers or whatever. And I'm like, oh, yeah, Helldivers 2. Yeah, we can play that together. It's cross progression. So we all ended up getting the game. We joined a game on Friday night. We had to wait an hour before we got into the server. This is right before they fixed them, by the way. But when we got into the game, though, we had fun together like I thought I would. I've always said that Helldivers 2 doesn't really speak to me, those type of games, but I know I can have fun with it. I can have fun with a card game with friends. You know, that's with friends and family, it's always fun. So I played a bit of that, like 2 hours, 3 hours that night. And I came away with thinking, it's your run-of-the-mill kind of run-and-gun extraction shooter. There's nothing new it does. But what it does do, it does well. It gives you this game to play co-op with your friends and just have a good time. And that's the key. Like, and also, the big thing about it, too, is the fact that it's less than $40. That is a sweet price point for a game. And I think that does play to the success of this game. If this had been $70, like I don't think it would fly very well.
Yeah. And like Powell, right? It's like $30 or something. So
yeah.
Same thing. Yeah. And if you make it cheap, people can attach to it. And the question is just how much you spend on it. And I don't know how much it was made for, right? So hopefully Helldivers 2 didn't cost that much to make. So hopefully it's made its money back.
No, I don't think it did. Matter of fact, I heard about Helldivers and how they had a hard time because they used their old Helldivers engine. And the engine is like so old and stuff. So I'm sure that they probably didn't have a large production cost. But in using this old engine, you know, it made me realize like some things as I was playing. I was like, oh, that's why there's a bit of jank to the mechanics, the controls.
Yeah.
You know, it's not perfect. The gunplay is great. The guns are great and shoot well and everything, but it's like the movement of the character is not perfect. It feels like an older title. It does, but still a great game. It's good for what it is. I had some
AA games.
Sorry, go ahead. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just saying AA games don't mean that they don't, look good or, have great stories or anything like that. It's just production time, right? So if you look at say, Hellblade 2, that's a very small team in comparison to many of the AAAs. It's like 40 people. They're punching above their weight, fair enough, right? But that game is, to me, AA. It's a AA game.
Yeah.
Right? So does that mean it's going to be a bad game? If you like the Hellblade formula, it's probably going to be a great game, right? It looks stunning, right? That's fine. But that's not everything. It just isn't, right? And so look, it just depends on whether you like that game or not. And if the budget for that, it can't be, I'm sure it's not $315 million, right? So it's not going to cost Microsoft that much to make, versus all these other games. Like if you're going to spend that much, you have to expect a lot back. So if this thing doesn't sell like, 5 million copies, are they going to be bankrupting, Ninja Theory? No, I don't think it's that big of a deal. I think Game Pass can sustain that development. So that's kind of the thing, right? So AA games can be a mix of very low, production value to pretty good production value. There are some really good AA games out there that you'd say, this is AA. Wow.
Yeah. Sure.
That's fine. It doesn't take away from the fun of the game. The whole AAA thing is kind of where things are interesting now. And it's one of the things I've complained the most about is like, I don't want 8 years between games. That's just ridiculous to me. If a AA model is 2 to 3 years and a AAA model is 6 to 8 years, give me the AA model. I'm much happier with that.
It's these smaller games that have kind of opened my eyes to the AAA nonsense that we're going through. Cause I used to be that guy that, I was only about AAA games, really. Like I'd play the occasional indie and I'd like some of them, but I never really it never really opened my eyes up to, wow, why is this game so much cheaper and so much better and more fun than that AAA game I just played? I started to think that really with Pal World, believe it or not. And it's the reason being is Pal World is such a simple game. And like what it doesn't bring anything fresh, but it combines a bunch of stuff that I like together.
And makes it fun. That's it.
And it's just fun. And then Enshrouded furthered that thought process. Like Enshrouded, another survival game, base building and stuff. I love that in games. And so I started to think about it after Enshrouded. I'm like, what? Why have I just like ignored these types of games in the past?
And I think you've tried Grounded, but that's another fun co-op, experience. It's the same kind of thing. It's like you do base building.
Yeah, I had fun with it with Colt and Dealer when I played. I had fun running away from the spiders and stuff. And there was some crazy stuff. Real quick, I got a shout out. Yep. Ultraman, $4.99 Super Chat says, I turned 51 tomorrow, buying myself an 87-inch OLED. Now Starfield had the space it needed. He's going to play Starfield on an 87-inch OLED. That's amazing, man. Dude, I know nothing about that kind of TV size. Like, the largest TV I've ever owned was a 75. I can only imagine going another freaking 12 inches there. That is massive. Where is it at? Where is it at?
Oh, man, that thing is massively huge.
It's massively huge. 87 inch TV. Can you imagine?
It's a cult.
That's freaking amazing, man.
Yeah. So we use a projector in our entertainment room. So it's 140 inch screen.
Whoa. Look at him flexing. How is that projector? Pretty nice.
So, look, whenever you go to a theater, you're watching a projector, right?
Yeah. Of course.
They're good. They're very good. If you want one that does well for gaming, you have to find one that does low latency. We use it mostly for movies, so it's pretty good. It's got an Xbox on it, but we use it mostly for video content.
Is Dead Island 2 considered AA, or is that AAA?
That is a good question. I don't know, right? It's shifted through so many different studios. I don't know. That's a good question.
By the way, this gameplay here is of me sucking with my brothers in the game Helldivers 2. I'm still trying to figure out everything during this gameplay. I've gotten better since then, but it's my gameplay. Just recorded that at 1080p 60 frames just to show some of you guys what it's like. The game itself was running at 4K though, ultra settings, everything maxed 120 frames. Like it was, it ran flawless. It was really good, but I didn't, however, I was not flawless in it. Ultraman says, damn it, Harvey, LOL. I think he meant Hargeet. Damn it, Hargeet. Cause you had to flex on him, but 140 inches, man, that's huge. That is, I mean, projector freaking...
just gives you that flexibility.
Oh man, that thing is massively huge.
Massively huge.
But yeah, I mean, if anybody wants to check out projectors, right, check those out. They you know, they give you a distance to size of screen and all that stuff. So
yeah, people in the chat says it's AAA. The Dead Island 2. I think here's the thing, the caveat with Helldivers 2. I think it's AA right now, but I think if they add to it and do more with this, it could get bigger and become a AAA title. I think it can. But right now, yeah, for what it's got and everything, it's a AA game. But it's a very good AA game. Make no mistake. It does what it does really well. So if you haven't played it and you like that type of game, the shooter genre where you're just co-op with friends, horde mode and extraction shooter, like I implore you, pick it up. It's a really good game. So I don't know. Well, my brother says it ran great on the PS5. So there's that. So there's a PS5 version as well. But I think most of the people are on the PC with this game still.
Yeah, unless the numbers have shifted, right? Yeah. The last we saw was like 3/4 of the players were on PC. I don't know if the sales are the same or what. I don't know. We'll have to see if there are numbers coming out for that.
By the way, Hargy, that article that you shared with me regarding Phil Spencer talking about Xbox's future was really interesting. Yeah, I remember you said there's a lot of nuggets there, and there was. There was a lot of nuggets involved in that thing. I'll give you some of his quotes here. He said, one of the things he says, it sounds cheesy, but I've never been more bullish about where we are. We're growing on PC. We're growing on cloud. Our game studios is just amazing. It's just an amazing creative organization. We've got great support from the company, Microsoft. We got to be a part of this industry growing. I think that's got to be the real focus. Now, what's interesting about this, what I came away with it when I read this article, Hargeet, maybe you did too, is Phil sounds really confident, right? When he's talking about Xbox right here. And this happened to be like a day or two before he even did the Xbox podcast and revealed that they were putting games elsewhere. So this is like him talking to somebody about Xbox's future and stating it in this way, which sounded kind of weird to me, that because he didn't look that confident on the Xbox podcast itself. What did you come away with reading this article? Like, how did you feel about it?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of what he's saying is just stuff we know, right? So things like the console market has kind of stagnated. It's at about 200 million-ish, households, and that's kind of where it is. I mean, like, we kind of know that if you look at the overlap between the various consoles. Is really about that much. There's really not that many more beyond. People tend to say, well, add the 120 of PlayStation and the 100 and whatever of Nintendo and the whatever 60 of Xbox. And it's like, it's not like that. I have all three, right? So, I sold my PlayStation, but that would make me, part of all three in an overlap. So it's not really cumulative. It's really just whoever has, just uniquely one of those consoles. Plus the overlap, and that is roughly about that 200 million mark. Now there's industry analysts that actually check all that stuff out, right? So he's just saying, hey, look, there's no growth here. There's just not.
Yeah, let me read that quote real quick when he touches on that. He says, I don't think we're doing good enough. We're doing a good enough job with new players, finding new players.
Yeah.
He says, let's pick consoles as a good example. We found 200 million global households that will play console games. And that number hasn't changed in the last 6 years.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
One of the things that they're doing here is the big acquisition, right? That, everybody like was looking at just Activision and Call of Duty, and it's like, that's not the reason they did this. They're looking at PC, and you get Bethesda plus Blizzard. They're two very premier PC level, publishers. And that's a big deal, right? And so now they're looking at how do we grow that market. On top of that is mobile, which is, it's like 70%+ of the revenue in gaming. It's mobile. So you have to take it seriously. You just do. And with King, they are a serious participant in this now. And they have to like expand that. That's just what they need to do. And that's why they're shifting this. So they got ABK for a lot of those needs, right? If you saw all the stuff that came out from the trial and from the CMA stuff, and you see that like they were really looking at King before ABK was available, because they were looking at getting Zynga, and they're like, well, but King is better. And so, you know, and Zynga ended up with Take Two. But look, the potential to get King once it became available to them, like, yes, that comes with Activision and Blizzard. Yes, double yes, please. Let's get that whole thing. Why not? Right? You just can't say no to that. It's really about Blizzard and King more so. Call of Duty is awesome. That's a great benefit to have, no doubt. Right?
Yeah. But what else does Activision have, really? Yeah.
Right. And yeah, and Activision isn't giving you a lot of big games outside of that, right? So it's Blizzard and King. And, you know, hopefully that sparks the growth, again, marketing dependent, on PC, which is where they need to start growing. And it's a potential to get more console customers.
Yeah.
But right now, that's just not something that's growing. And, you know, that could be a marketing issue. It could just be a generational issue. It's, you know, we grew up with them, so we're kind of used to it.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
Kids, nowadays, they grow up with tablets. They just do. They have an iPad sitting in front of them. That's what they
true.
Use. And then they'll use it.
And again, PC. That's why the mobile market and the PC market is still a fast-growing market as well. And you're seeing a lot of people transitioning from console to PC. So you're getting growth on that side as well. However, the stagnation of the consoles, by the way, I want to bring this up. Matt Piscatella, who's an industry analyst, by the way, on Twitter, he posted this. He said, I get that console fans love their consoles. The U.S. video game hardware market is, however, a mature market at this point. It's not dying by any means, but the market is what it is. Have to get beyond the boxes in the U.S. to find growth. So that, and he shows you the graph here of the hardware spending by year here, and it is stagnant. You know, these consoles or console gamers, I know I saw Nine Lives in the chat saying this, and many other people. I'm not just calling you out, by the way, Nine Lives. I'm not trying to be mean or anything, but I know you said something about, you know, they're trying to find growth at the expense of the hardcore fans. And by that, I know you mean putting games on PlayStation. You feel like it's like a backstab to, you know, these hardcore Xbox guys. You have to look at it, you know, that this is not about backstabbing you or trying to affect you in any way. They are just trying to grow more. These companies, these consoles have tapped out. Essentially. Yep. And they're not finding any more growth there.
Yeah. And to your point from the first part of what he said, you know, you can only keep that as long as you're able to pay them and keep them enthusiastic about what they're putting out. Right. If you make it so that, like, hey, we have to penny pinch all the time and everything is like existential threat, that totally shifts the fun of doing the work into the, oh, we're kind of like, we have to get this done. And it just changes the mindset, right? Creativity is best when you're not like under the gun. It's just the way it is. But like some people say, no, it's the opposite. If you're like under threat, you can somehow do your greatest work. Maybe some people are kind of wired that way. A lot of people are not. Most people who are pressured to like, I have to get this done, are usually more concerned about their life than they are about like, can I, you know, creatively make something cool. Right. And that it just hampers it. Right. If you take away the pressure, you just have an open mind and you can actually start doing things that are like more creatively fun. It's just like usually that's how it goes. Now, there's some people that are absolutely wired the other way, but it's few and far between. Most people aren't like that. And I think as long as they can keep that fun factor and say, oh, you know, don't worry, you have your job, you have your pay or all that. And we're not like, you're not going to like be fired in the next 10 days. Right. And unfortunately, but that's the industry. Like the industry.
Yeah, you know, right now. It's funny, Hargeet.
It's just not good, right?
Why JT, and he said these companies want to grow infinitely. They're never satisfied. Of course they aren't. Like, this is where I always talk about corporate greed, right? This is why, you know, prices go up sometimes and you're thinking to yourself, wait a minute, I look at their financials every year and they're making money hand over fist. Like, why do they need to, you know, up the price of games, for instance, because they're greedy. They're always going to look for more growth. They're always going to look for more revenue. This is just how industry works. It's not just the gaming sector. It's all of industry. This is how corporations operate. This is capitalism. You know, this is what happens. The thing is,
there's
go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yes, what I was going to say is that it, like, specifically open markets don't care, but the way we've structured things, where if you publicly are traded, now you have to care, because the intent is somebody has given you their money to get a return, right? So if you invest, too, you know, $100,000 into Microsoft, you're expecting to get a dividend back. That's the point, right? It's not, hey, I invested and then you lose my money, right? And that's literally why that happens, right? It doesn't have to be that way, right? So companies can be private, and then it's really up to whatever the leadership wants. They can decide that our entire purpose is.
But this is not how most companies operate. Yeah, they're publicly traded.
It's fair to look at the Fortune 500, for instance. A lot of them are public, right? And you could say, okay, well, those companies are going to do things in a certain manner. But actually, most of the businesses are small businesses, right? They're like, you know, a restaurant or a store or, you know, whatever. I deliver stuff or whatever it is, right? That's usually what businesses are. They're small businesses. They're owned by themselves. They don't have that problem. But you're right. When it comes to this kind of thing, that's what you get.
Like, well, exactly.
Pocket Pair, I assume, is not publicly traded, right? They can do whatever they want.
But no, I mean, you could feel some type of way as an Xbox guy, but think about this on the flip side, because a lot of PlayStation guys are still in denial. Their games are going to go day and date to PC. Their CFO is saying that. He's the acting president right now. He is stating what they're going to do. Yeah. They don't want to listen to him, but it's going to happen. And when it does, it's going to shock a lot of them. But hey, this is how corporations work. It's about that growth. It's about that greed. Sorry. They're going to keep wanting to get more revenue. These consoles are tapped out. It's not only me, Hargeet, saying this. You've got industry analysts saying this. They need to look elsewhere for growth. That is exactly what Hiroki Totoki told them. That they need to look outside. They said PC, and by the way, the multi-platform thing, they're talking about PC, cloud, and mobile, just as Microsoft has done. But here's the difference. Microsoft did this with PC years ago. We're talking 2016, 2017. They're just following kind of late in the game. Mm-hmm. Eventually, and I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I could see a world in which PlayStation starts to put games on Xbox. Could be 10, 15 years from now, but I could see it happening, because eventually that growth isn't enough for them. The PC growth won't be enough for them. Just as Microsoft said it wasn't enough for them, they're looking at mobile, they're looking at cloud, they're looking at PlayStation. So you gotta understand that's the way the companies are going to operate. That's why I always say, don't put your feelings into these corporations like you guys do. Like, I've never held an allegiance to a console. I've never been that way. I don't look at Phil Spencer as some sort of god. I look at him just like as an executive. I've talked to Phil outside of that role. I've talked to him in a party chat. He's a great guy. Nice as hell. But it is not a situation where he is your friend, especially when it comes to business. They're going to do what they're going to do for revenue. It's just the way it is.
Yeah, and I would not discount games going to Switch. Everybody seems to just ignore the fact that there's the Switch, which is probably going to end up being the top-selling console of all time. And there are plenty of PS4, PS3 games sitting around doing nothing, and they could absolutely be ported over to the Switch. And why the hell not, right? So if you're Hiroki Totoki, who does not care about console wars, and he sits there and goes, I have this IP called Knack. What is it doing for me? I've closed the studio. Can I give this code to somebody and give them $100,000 and port it over to Switch? Will it give me $10 million? Let's do it. Because it's $10 million. It just goes in the bank, right? Why not? What is it doing for them right now? Is it going to sell PS5s? No. Right? Like, what is it doing for them? Nothing. Gravity Rush. Like, go ahead, right? Just, like, take the code, take Gravity Rush 1 and 2, make a combo, and put it on Switch. How much is that going to cost them? A couple hundred grand? Right? How much do you think they'll sell? Like 5 million copies? How much money is that? A couple hundred million? Why wouldn't you do it? What would be the reason not to do it? Like, just do it.
Do you know what? And Sony is pretty sneaky, right? Because I'm going to talk to you about a couple of games that are Sony IP that have been on Game Pass. And MLB The Show, we all know that's on Game Pass. But the way Sony gets around it, they say, well, we don't publish it for Xbox. We let somebody else do that. Same thing for Death Stranding. Death Stranding was on Game Pass last year. They let 505 Games put it out on Game Pass. But guess what? It's a Sony IP. And here's the funny part. It's a Sony IP that has the Xbox ecosystem built in, the achievements, all that stuff is within Death Stranding. But Sony gets away with it because they're making money off that within Game Pass. It's their IP. But they put it in there under the guise of, well, 505 Games put it there. And that's not our first party. I mean, they can't say that about MLB The Show, but they always do that with the whoever puts it out for them. You know, oh, that wasn't us. Right? But they're still making money off of it because to this day, did you know this? I found this out yesterday. I looked up Death Stranding on the PC Game Pass. It's not in there to play anymore. However, you could buy it through Game Pass cheap.
Yeah.
You can still get the discount. So they're still making money through Game Pass. I'm sorry, but just because it didn't hit the Xbox console, it was still on an Xbox service. Because Game Pass is Xbox. Sorry.
Yep.
Does
it hurt them to put it on Xbox? I don't know if it does.
I don't think it would, but... Whatever.
It's old enough at this point. Who cares, right?
I think, and this is another conversation that I kind of want to have is about people and where they decide to play their games. Everybody has their own bias with certain controllers, certain hardware, and it has nothing to do with the games themselves. So honestly, most of the people that I've ever heard, extreme fanboys from Xbox, have told me they're on Xbox for their controllers, for their ecosystem. They love the box. They love everything about, you know, the box. It has nothing to do with the games. Most of them don't even mention a game. So for you guys, why would you leave the ecosystem or the platform just because a game is on another? Like, it makes no sense to me. Especially on one that you hate, supposedly.
That's the thing they have to worry about is growing, right?
Yeah.
They can't provide you a reason to grow, that's a problem. But you know, that's their challenge. They have to figure out a way to market right, and I think a lot of it comes down to marketing. If you market games along with your system, people will associate the game with your system and they'll buy it. So that's really just on Xbox to do a better job with that. But either way, we will see what happens there. There's other nuggets from that interview. Like this. There's the physical, right? That he's they don't want
to. That's when I wrote down too. He talked about the physical media as long as there's demand for it, people. Hargeet, here's the thing. So I think this is kind of disingenuous of Phil to say, and I'll give you reasons. Number one, they're already removing Xbox physical games from many stores. Mm-hmm. Many stores are removing them. Also, they see that the physical game market is dwindling, especially on their end when they're pushing Game Pass, they're pushing digital games. They're saying this under the guise that, hey, don't worry, as long as you demand it, because when they do take it away eventually, it's not going to be because of them. It's going to be because of you. You guys didn't demand physical games anymore. Yeah. I myself don't demand it. I prefer digital gaming. I'll come out and say it. Like, I know it's not the best for game preservation and all that, but at the end of the day, it's convenience for me. And I think that outweighs having a copy here, you know, that one day I may or may not play. Like, for me anyway, I hardly ever pick up an old game and play it. So it doesn't really matter to me.
Yeah, and like, so the game preservation thing, I think, has been circumvented with PC, whether it's illicit or legal, I don't know, but because that's really the best way to do it. You just get the ROMs, you get like the binaries, and you just have it available and emulate it, and like, that's pretty much it. The back end is always the headache. How many games require servers to run? And you can sometimes mod around that too, but that's yet another headache, right? But I don't know that physical is going to stay forever. They are, I think they were getting rid of some of the people that manage the publishing of physical games, right? And you could see that the direction could be just use limited run, right? To, you know, if you want to have a physical release, they just use limited run and put out a limited run of physical, right? And then that's the way you get physical, and you can order that one if you want to, right? It's all around just not useful to them. Because when you do that, the retailer takes a chunk, right? There's just no way around that.
Yeah.
How does that behoove them? It does not. It it's better for them to do digital because that store then is their digital store. They get the money, whether it's their game or somebody else's game, right? Then, you know, the Microsoft store or Xbox store or the PlayStation store or the Switch store, they get the 30%. And well, I mean, that's just useful to them. So why wouldn't they look for that? So look, I don't know where this ends up, right? We'll see. But like, yeah, it's, you know, PlayStation's already going down the road of it's an attachment and you're welcome to buy it bundled with the attachment, but we're not going to have the drive as part of our standard, hardware package anymore. And if you want it, it's available to you as an option. And I'm okay with that. If, Xbox does the same thing, if you want it. And the reason is simply, I do actually have a library of older games. Right. And they do offer backwards compatibility. And I have that. Plus, also, I might just, you know, want to watch a Blu-ray. And I have a whole bunch of 4K Blu-rays. And having the drive is convenient. It's just one box that does everything.
But so there's a caveat with that, right? You get the higher bit rates for the 4K Blu-ray that you don't get streaming with a movie. You know, it's different from the video games. The video games, the digital video game is just the same as the physical.
Exactly.
Somebody in the chat was saying something about, Elemental Hero, the Shadow Link Dragon Wolf King. Whoa, well, that's a big name. He said, but the problem is digital is with digital is it crashes, it gets corrupted, and you lose stuff. You know, the same thing can happen with a physical disc too. Your game can crash and you lose things as well. It's not really a difference there. The difference though being is even when you buy a physical game, usually they have a day one patch anyway. That negates playing the game without it. So like if you had that physical version and you got some sort of system down the road that played older games and you tried to put that in there and there's no update for it, the game's probably a brick anyway. It's probably not even worth owning anyway. It's a coaster. Yeah,
unfortunately,
at that point.
Like Blu-rays and DVDs and whatnot, they actually do have a shelf life, unfortunately. So it is, they could degrade.
I know VHS has a shelf life as well, but I still have some VHS tapes that, you know, I'm still converting to digital and some of them are, you know, held up and I'm shocked.
Digital actually works out better in the end. Usually it's stored in a cloud with multiple copies, right? So if you wanted to download a game, I'm sure they have like 12 copies of that, like all over the place. So it's generally better. But either way,
Well, Hargeet, do you remember those four Xbox games that we speculated on that are right behind you? Yeah, those are the ones that went to the competing platforms, folks.
Yeah.
So which ones are those, Hargeet?
Well, it's Grounded, Pentiment, which are coming to both PlayStation and Nintendo, the current Switch. And then Hi-Fi Rush and Sea of Thieves, which are coming only to PlayStation. Though my assumption is that the next Switch would probably get those as well.
Why do you think Hi-Fi Rush skipped Nintendo Switch?
I think it just technically wouldn't work.
Because I thought that was perfect for Hi-Fi Rush. I thought that's where it would sell most.
I agree. And I also think Sea of Thieves would probably do pretty well on Switch as well.
I could see that.
I'm not sure why it couldn't fit. Maybe there's a memory limitation or something. I don't know.
It's that water, bro. It's that water, Hargeet. It's too good. It's too good for the Switch.
It runs on an Xbox One. You could always turn off the water physics and just do useless water. It doesn't matter. Like, it just doesn't play the game, right? But maybe they're just saying, no, we'll make those like launch titles for the Switch 2 and see how it does there. Yeah. But those are the games. So that rumor turned out to be true.
Yeah, it was 100% true. Yeah. It's crazy, right? But everything else that insider came out with was totally wrong, right? You know, it couldn't be any of it right because he got these four right, but the other stuff was completely wrong, right? Yeah, it's so stupid.
Look, like behind the scenes, I am sure they were talking about all sorts of options. That's what you do with strategy meetings, right? You say, well, let's take on the extreme version. We say everything goes over. What does that look like? And then you say, okay, well, what about we take like, you know, half of our catalog? What does that look like? What if we take 10 games? What does that look like? And, you know, and you have to do the pro cons and figure out what matters and what doesn't work and what does work. All of it also could be, hey, they wanted to see what the engagement issues would be with the community, right? What, what would happen if we took Starfield and moved it over? What would that be like? And would that cause a rift in the community? Well, apparently it did. The community response was pretty terrible. But those are the things you do, right? When you're trying to figure out what's next, you do strategies and you say, all right, well, give me package 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and like, give me the pros and cons of each one. And let's see what we, you know, think is the right path. Right now they're testing with these. But yeah, it could absolutely be some of those other ones that we're talking about could actually happen, may not happen. Maybe some other games like this, come over. It just depends, right? It just depends on how this does. I don't know how well they sell. Pentiment apparently is not doing apparently well on PlayStation, but I don't know. Again, it just came out. Maybe there isn't a lot of marketing.
I don't think that game did all that well on Xbox. I mean, it might have had some players on Game Pass, but I doubt that a lot of people even finished that game. Not to sound
probably mean, not. I mean, yeah, it's not for everybody, obviously, no. Right? It is a very different type of game, and that's fair. For those who enjoy that kind of game, it was really good, but it is a very weird, strange game. So I don't know how many people would gravitate towards it. I think Game Pass is exactly the right path for that, because it gives you the ability to try it without having to spend the, like, is it $20, $40? I think it's $20, right? Try it out on PlayStation or Switch. Again, if it came to their services, it might not be bad. If it came to PS Plus, right, that would be cool. And maybe people could try it out. But I don't know that they're going to do that. Maybe they will. Maybe they will do that. I don't know. But that's the thing. So I don't know how Pentiment does. I think it's I think this is all testing the waters to see if these different types of genres do well on Switch or PlayStation, to see what goes next, right? If they want to continue or not, right? If Pentiment doesn't do anything, then it's not worth spending the money to port it. Then you just leave it on Xbox and PC and call it a day. Right. If, Sea of Thieves does exceedingly well, right, on, say, on Switch, they're like, oh, cool, this is really, really good here. We should consider doing that, on the next Sea of Thieves type game. Right. And say, hey, let's put that also on Switch. If it does exceedingly well on PlayStation, OK, let's do the same thing. So that's what it's going to be like. I don't know how these will work. I just don't. I don't know what, like, Hi-Fi has a good chance maybe to do well on PlayStation. It also has a good chance to do well on Switch if it were workable. Maybe it wasn't, so they have to wait until the Switch 2. I think the reason is, like, it's very timing based, so you have to have a consistent locked frame rate, right? So it could just be that the power just isn't there on that Switch, the current Switch, to handle it. So
yeah. Right? By the way,
rhythm based game.
Speaking of games going to competitive platforms, I know some of you don't like that topic, but did you see that MLB, the show, which is in Game Pass, has 6 times the player count than PlayStation 5 and PS4? 6 times, Hargeet. Do they not play baseball?
Just laugh out loud.
Do they not play baseball? Like, what's going on with the PlayStation crowd?
Well, I mean, look, part of it is probably the fact that it comes to Game Pass, right? And, like, you know, you have to pay $70 to play it on PlayStation, and you don't on this side. You can absolutely buy it. And they do, I don't know, from what I remember hearing, the sales on Xbox are pretty good. But the engagement is extremely good, and Game Pass has definitely helped them with that. It is rather amusing to see that. I wish I knew what the numbers were on Nintendo, because it does come to the Switch. So I wonder how they're doing over there. Unfortunately, there's no achievements, I guess, on that side. So there's no, that's how they're tracking this. How many people have achievements on the PlayStation side versus the Xbox side. So I don't know what the numbers are on Switch. It would be nice to see if that's very similar, because then you have to pay the same $70 or whatever. Maybe it's 60.
Baseball is a big pastime for Japanese as well. Like, in Japan, baseball's huge. So yeah, I figured there'd be a lot of people playing MLB The Show. Seeing the player count.
The bigger console in Japan is Nintendo. It's not PlayStation.
True.
And it's
so, yeah, that's higher. Why you're saying you want to see the Switch numbers. Yeah.
I'd love to see the Switch numbers to see what that means. Because I wouldn't be surprised if it's like 2-1, 3-1 on Switch to PlayStation as well. It also could just be they're saturated, right? A game has come out every single year on the PlayStation, and maybe PlayStation players are like, well, I already played that. I don't care. I don't want to buy it again, right? Fair enough, right? Whereas on the Xbox side, it's like, hey, it just comes and drops into Game Pass. If you happen to have some time,
do you think it's more? Do you think it's more of a testament to Game Pass, or the fact that, you know, or do you think people would have bought it at $70 on Xbox? I mean, do you think there's just more baseball gamers on Xbox? Because I mean, certain games do better on certain platforms. It's just the way it is. Like JRPGs, yeah, PlayStation has way more players for that. Way more.
Yeah. And more of the, like, the multiplayer, the shooters, those kind of games tend to
do better with Xbox. Like, I would guarantee that Xbox, if, like, a Helldivers 2 was on Xbox, I think it would do good numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it would do bigger numbers than PlayStation, not Steam.
Yeah. And then, yeah, I know Steam is good. Nintendo tends to do well with indies, right? So I don't know. I don't know what the like factor would be as far as would Japanese players want to play it and play it on Switch. I just don't know what the numbers are. But yeah, it is rather amusing, right? It's a funny statistic that the first party Sony game is doing substantially better on Xbox.
It is funny.
And you know, look, but we could say it's a testament to Game Pass, right? And you say the engagement numbers don't matter. Well, talk to them. They like it. Sony likes it.
Yeah, what is up with some people out there saying engagement doesn't matter?
It does.
That's
they by the way, consider it a live game because it has like content packs. You have the card packs. They're happy with that because that's microtransactions that they're making money off of, right? So Sony's happy with it. They said that the Game Pass, having that game in Game Pass was good for them. So I don't know what that says about their.
Yeah, because even Yoshida has said in the past that it's more about engagement than sales. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I don't get that because
bad for them?
I know some people always equate like, well, they'll use the excuse that some people might download the game, try it, and just delete it, never play it again. And sure, there is some of that for sure. I've been one of those guys. But there's also those people that download a game that may not necessarily think, oh, this is my game. But they download it, play it, and go, oh, I like this game, and continue to play it.
It's just a little fun game on the side, right? And that's the thing, right? It's a good party chat game because it's really just baseball in the background, right? You're not thinking about story elements here. It's just like, I got to hit at the right time. I got to pitch at the right time. And, you know, that's it. So it's a good party chat game. So you can play it for 10, 20, 30 hours, get your fun out of it. And, you know, putting in Game Pass is not like, the publisher doesn't get any money. They get paid. So it's not like they're not making their money back. You know, Microsoft is paying the publisher, AKA, in this case, the development studio, Sony San Diego, to have that game there. So I don't see the negative. It's up to them to make the contract the way it is. And they must see the numbers as of when they started putting it in.
For sure.
Like, this is the engagement level. This is the contract we're going to sign with you. Here's how much we want. You know, if they play it for 10 hours, we get this much. 30 hours, 50 hours, whatever, we get this much. And that's fair. What's the issue, right? Good engagement for Game Pass. Good engagement for Sony San Diego. And ultimately, MLB is the one that's like very happy with this because it gets people to think about baseball again, right? And that's the whole point of this. It was to get people to like watch baseball games, go attend baseball games. That's what they want out of it, right? So,
what was the point of putting Death Stranding on PC Game Pass again? What was that point?
To stick it to PlayStation. Sorry.
It blows my mind that people always try to like do these mental gymnastics about, but it wasn't on the console. It was in Game Pass.
Yeah.
It was in Game Pass on the PC.
That's why I think they should put their other ones on there too.
Jesus,
Days Gone, for instance, is on PC.
Yeah,
it's done what it's going to do.
Put it on PC Game Pass. Yeah,
put it on Game Pass. Let people try it. Like, what's the downside here? Maybe it'll get
somehow just because it's on the PC Game Pass, it disassociates from Xbox completely, right?
No, it doesn't. Entirely Xbox Game Pass.
It doesn't. It doesn't. So it's funny.
Because you're gonna get Xbox achievements, folks. So it is Xbox when you're on PC Game Pass. I think it's a fantastic idea. Like, if you've already put your game out, it's been 2 years on PC, you've kind of like gotten your sales already.
Throw it in Game Pass. Oh, see, again, Mav, look at that. Mav even said that was 505 Games that did that. But yeah, LOL. There's no excuse. It's still an owned IP from Sony owned IP. They're making money off of that Game Pass transaction and that engagement there. They made Sony made money off that, and they're still selling it for $29.99 in PC Game Pass. That's hilarious to me. It's hilarious to me that the fanboys they got blinders on. They're like, I don't see it. Horse blinders. That's what they got on. Yeah. Horse blinders.
There's no reason for them to not do it. Like, again, Hiroki Totoki, you should just look at that and say, okay, can I get a check? And Microsoft's going to write me a check. Why do I care? Tell me what the downside is here. It's still on PC. It hasn't changed that it's still on PC. It's not on their console. And I don't even care if it's on their console. Like, this game has already done what it's going to do for me, right? So why don't I just take more money? Like, what's the downside, right? And if you wanted to bring Miles Morales onto freaking PC Game Pass, how does it hurt you? Like, you've already sold your 10, 12 million copies you're going to sell. If that gives you another 6 million users, what's the downside? Like, just do it. I just don't see
I want the day and date from Sony to go to PC. That's what I want. And you know.
Yeah, that's a thing they should do after Helldivers.
I mean, truly, I'd like to see everything go everywhere to every platform just so I can stop seeing the stupid console wars. Yeah. I'm tired of it. These guys think they're real brainiacs. In the end, they just look dumb. They're like 40-something-year-old men. You know, they're my age, and they're out here fighting a plastic war that doesn't exist. They're like these warriors on a battlefield somewhere. And I'm just like, stop. You guys are nothing. Like, it's so stupid. I lose brain cells daily reading Twitter. Daily.
You mean like this?
It's bad.
Is that reversed on yours? It's reversed on yours, right?
Which one? Oh, there you go.
Like that. Warriors. Look, you know, this is the first step, obviously, right? This is the first step towards doing something like that. Maybe they'll change the industry by starting to do this and saying some games just don't matter, right? Take Destruction All-Stars, for instance, right?
Oh,
they
God.
Put that on PlayStation, and it failed miserably.
Dude, wasn't that in their service as well?
It was. It was in PS Plus at launch.
But at launch, it was $70. $70.
Perhaps the lesson to learn is to say that kind of game, if you want it to go, it shouldn't be locked to PlayStation. If Helldivers was also locked to PlayStation, you'd also be, you know, not benefiting from that massive, Steam user base. That probably should have been the case with Destruction All-Stars. Just put it everywhere, right? And see what you get out of it, right? It was kind of a Rocket League-ish type thing. It was a weird little game, right? But whatever. But the reason those games work is they're kind of everywhere and anybody can play it. That is kind of what they need to do. So Destruction All-Stars could have potentially worked if it had more users on different platforms. Instead, they locked it to one platform and lo and behold, it killed the game. Now, is that useful for the game? Was that going to draw people over to PlayStation?
No.
I mean,
no.
Right? So who won from that?
I don't know. It's weird. Right? And it's nauseating just when you like open up an app on social media and you just like look and you just see nothing but just stupidity and just dumb shit. All the time from the same people.
Yeah.
And then you look at their profiles and you see that they're probably even in their 50s and you're like, damn, like what would your family think? Do you ever show your tweets to your wife? I know Colt says that a lot and it's the truth. Do you ever show them? By the way, shout out to Colt. I know he was in here earlier, but I just want to say, I think he's been unfairly attacked lately, big time, by both the PlayStation and the Xbox community, the extreme fanboys on either side. for doing nothing but speculating during that whole time when it came to the whole, you know, are the games going to PlayStation or not? He did the same thing I did. I'm not getting attacked like he is. He did the same thing everybody did. The Iron Lords, everybody. When you do a podcast, you speculate. He didn't say there, sit there and say, this is definitely happening. This is going there. That's going there. No, he speculated, but he's being called a liar and all this stuff. And it's just unfair. The guy's a freaking not a liar. I can attest to that. Definitely not. I've been a friend of his now for almost 7 years. It's a great guy. If you talk to him, you would know. It pisses me off because I don't think it's deserved at all. His shock face during that time I was on his podcast, that was meant to be cartoony and funny. And he's sitting there freaking getting memed and stuff. And it's like, look, go with the meme because, yeah, it is a dumb, funny face. But it was meant to be a dumb, funny face. These people are acting like it was all serious. And like, it just infuriates me that people that are just so fanatical about a plastic box will go after somebody because they did the same shit everybody else did. We did the same shit. We speculated. We all did. Every one of you that have a podcast that might be in my chat right now did the same stuff. You speculated on that stuff. But somehow it's cool to go after Colt because he's got so much clout, I guess, in the you know, within the industry and stuff, or at least that's the way you guys see him. He doesn't work for Microsoft. Some of you believe that, which is freaking mind-blowingly stupid. He doesn't work for Microsoft. He's just the guy who makes videos and has a podcast. I just think it's dumb. It's dumb. Anyways, I had to do a little rant on that because what I'm seeing is vile and disgusting and stupid against him. Bad.
You bring up that, I don't know if you saw that, like I sent you a thing from one of the journalists, right? But like, first thing, I don't think people even understand what the word liar means. Lying is intentionally telling you something that is wrong. Colt just told you what he knew.
Exactly.
He's not like intentionally saying, I'm going to tell them something wrong. I mean, like, he's just telling you what he knows. That's it. He's like, based on this, here's what we think. That's it. That's like, and we all did that. I did that. I'm trying to say, like, if that's what's happening, like,
exactly,
these are the negatives, and these things I'm thinking about.
And like, for any one of you that have podcasts out there, and you're talking about him, and you're like, I've seen some stuff behind the scenes and Discords and stuff, some disgusting things, and mind you, a lot of people see it. You guys are just like, you know what? If you have a podcast out there and you're going after him for saying this stuff, you're a hypocrite because you speculate as well. That's what we're supposed to do. It's not entertaining at all if we just did a podcast without any kind of speculation. It would be stupid. It would be lame.
It's like to look at what's in the future, right? And like, what are the things we're enthusiastic about? What are the things we're not enthusiastic about? That's the whole point. That's like, what else are we going to talk about?
But to get personal and attack personally, that's a whole nother thing. Like the memes and stuff. I mean, he laughs that stuff off. But when you attack somebody personally, I know I would feel bad about it. I think it's stupid. Like you're fighting over something so trivial when you think about your entire life and everything that goes around in the world right now over video games. Over video games, you're going to attack somebody personally. That's just weird. That's weirdo behavior. And you really need to get checked out on that if that's your mindset, because that's not.
You want to bring up that thing then?
It's not right.
I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, go ahead. Bring it up. Bring it up, man.
But you'll have to bring it up on the screen. It's.
Oof. I don't think I have it.
What was it? It was this one. I'll put it into the chat here so you can have it. Copy.
Oh, I can't. Hold on. Let me see if I can pull it up on Twitter, right?
Yeah, it's I just sent it to you in this chat.
Let me see if I can find this. sorry. This is when was this? A couple of days ago or
was it, I just put it in the GTL chat right now if you want to look over here.
Oh, okay.
The link is there. See it? You got it?
On Twitter?
No. I don't have Twitter, right? Our Discord GTL chat. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't switch it because I can't.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I'm going to have to. Where do you want to send it? You don't have Twitter.
Right. I can send it to you on your phone.
Yeah, that's not going to help me. All right. Yeah, they're not entertained with this right now. So basically, what was the gist of this anyway? And I'll try to find it.
Okay, I'll read through it. Essentially, yeah, so this was Genbox 360 who put this out, but basically this was on Reddit. I think some part of the phenomenon is tied to the increasingly desperate state of affairs in the world and a growing intrinsic need for relief from grim reality. People have less and less free time, money, agency, etc., so they cling more and more tightly to that expectation of relief, and internally they begin to inject unrealistic qualities and responsibilities onto the expectation. No game release should be responsible for the mental health or well-being of its players. People taking connection woes as personal insult already felt personally insulted by the world in their daily life and the very way of things, and lashing out is a means to self-regulate against accepting the reality that most things which happen to them are not personal. The world is just messy and unfair. And then, you know, this was just retweeted, and
yeah,
you know, you can probably take that context, you know, on any one of these things. And unfortunately, it kind of just amplifies the world, which is why I try not to attack anybody. Like, it's very, even within chats, I try not to go after people. If I do, it'll be in jest and a couple of things. And if it's not reciprocated in jest, then I stop. Cause like, I don't know what state these people are in. Right. And like, I just don't want to make things worse for somebody.
True.
This could be
true.
Their desperate, like, attempt to try to cling to any sort of, you know, hope or whatever. It's sad though. This is like, you're not part of it. And so you can't just expect everything is going to be great with a given thing. Like, oh, you know, I attach myself to Coca-Cola. It's kind of a stupid thing to attach to, but if Coca-Cola loses,
hey, I like Coca-Cola. That's
yeah. Right. And it's like, well, dude, you can't do that. Right. And unfortunately, yes, the world is pretty screwed up and there are all sorts of things that can make you very depressed. And, you know, sometimes it's family stuff, internal family stuff. Right. And sometimes it's external stuff that we just can't like, and then, you know, so some people latch on to console wars. Okay, fine. But, you know, it's really unhealthy for that person.
It really is, because you see some of these same guys at all times of the day and night, console warring.
Yeah.
And it blows my mind, because in a hobby that we're in with video games, you've got plenty out there to play, and yet you're fighting over consoles on Twitter. And even if you're not one of those guys constantly fighting about it, when you insult people personally and really attack someone like that over the consoles and stuff, you look just as bad. And you're right. They may be going through something. There's a lot of people out there who may be even just like obese or whatever, not feel confident in themselves, and they feel like they're a shit person. So they're going to just exude that and just give it to people and try to be something they're not sometimes. And there's those people out there. And then there's batshit crazy people. I'll just tell you that there are some real nut jobs out there. I've met some that have come after me on Twitter, and they are not sane. They have real problems. And I'm not saying all of them are like this, of course, but there are those that are out there like that. So you have to watch yourself, because it's crazy. But over the video game stuff, it's not, come on people, this is video games. Like, we don't need to fight like that. And
healthy,
I
get that people do this, but there are better
outlets. It's the same thing like sports teams. I know it's the same thing. It's that tribalistic mentality. I'm not one of those guys. Like, you know, my sports team, the 49ers, they lost the Super Bowl and stuff. People came after me about it, you know, laughed and stuff. I don't care. It doesn't bother me like that. It's like, whatever. It's a game. You know, and maybe I'm just built different in that regard, that I don't have that tribalistic mentality when it comes to certain things, even though I've been pointed at to have it before. Like, people have told me in the past, like, I constantly get, oh, you're an X-bot, or you're a pony, or you're this, anytime I have an opinion that may side with a certain side. But That should tell you right there. I'm neither. I'm just giving you my opinion based on what I see and how I, you know, translate all this stuff in the industry to be. Like, I don't talk to you guys about, you know, somebody else's opinion. It's my opinion. I'm just giving you what I think. And that's all Colt did. And people went after him. And I just think it's gross. They do. They personally attack him. And it's just, it's gross. It's not necessary. But
yeah, anyways. It's not just him. There's plenty of others that are also being attacked. And it's like, come on.
Oh, yeah. Others are being attacked, too. I mean, we talked about it a few weeks ago. We were telling people, leave the journalists alone. They're just doing their job. Same thing with podcasters and stuff. They're just doing their thing, you know. Anyways, I think that is the end of the show, guys. That is all I have to talk about. Unless, Hargeet, you have something to talk about.
Covered most of it.
I think we covered pretty much all of it.
All of it, yeah. Is there anything else? What was this Matt Piscatella thing? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we talked about that. All right, guys. Yeah. Well, Hargeet, let everybody know where they can find you through the week, because it's many a show, and hopefully you don't get personally attacked in these shows for telling your opinions and your truth.
I'm sure I do. I just never care.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and that's the attitude to have.
Like, my entire life I've been attacked. I don't care. I grew thick skin when I was young. I just don't care. Like, go say whatever you want.
How could you attack that majestic beard? How could you?
So, like, yeah, whatever. So next up is it usually was RDX, but unfortunately RDX has not come back yet. We will see when it comes back. the next one will be Boom's show on Wednesday. 7 p.m. U.S. Eastern Time, Primetime Gaming on Double Barrel Gaming is the channel. I will be on Lemons, which is One White Dragons TV, next Saturday at 6 p.m. U.S. Eastern Time.
Nice.
So check that out.
Well, I want to thank everybody for showing up today. You know, it was a real fun show today. Sorry, got a little real at the end, but. Yeah, I just had to come out to bat for one of my great friends. Colt is definitely one of those. Again, I've known him for 7 years. I talk to him just about daily. He's a great guy, and he just doesn't deserve that stuff. Anyways, but thank you for coming out, guys. Thank you for listening to us talk about this industry stuff, this gaming stuff. It's always cool that people want to come out and listen or watch. And I want to thank everybody listening after the fact as well. This show will go up on all the different podcast streaming sites. So if you're into that, thank you for listening. And until next time, guys, game on.